Many children in the United States are struggling against two epidemics, asthma and obesity. Doctors are struggling to better treat these conditions and to better understand why some of their current strategies seem to be falling short. Some valuable insights may be appearing on camera in the hands of young patients who are showing a side of their lives that doctors rarely see, but probably should. From member station WGBH in Boston, Madge Kaplan has this story about a project called Video Intervention Prevention Assessment. The story begins with a brief obscenity.
Doctors know patients often hate the side effects of medication, but the message isn't usually this direct.
I feel like shit. It's medication. I'm just like so tempted just to stop taking it. I'm just so tired and I don't know, it's just like, I feel like my life just revolves around this. I don't know, I'm getting so fed up already of it. Sometimes I feel like giving up and then I see my son.
This teenager was speaking to her doctor, but not in person. She was making a videotape that she knew he'd see. That's exactly what Dr. Michael Rich hoped. For the past 8 years, he's been asking young people to create their own video narratives so doctors better understand what it's like to live with a chronic disease. The information is crucial, he says, because whether patients improve, deteriorate, or stagnate is largely dependent on what happens outside the doctor's office.
I have a trophy because I used to play basketball. I don't play basketball no more because of my asthma.
We don't see how isolating they are, how it separates them from their friends, how they want to play basketball but can't. Maybe they can't physiologically, but maybe also they can't because they're fearful of something going wrong.
Michael Rich works in adolescent medicine at Boston's Children's Hospital, and 36 patients of diverse backgrounds have given him much to ponder. They've created some 700 hours of videotape, focusing literally on their asthma or being overweight. These first-time videographers filmed their homes, their schools, and their daily activities. They interviewed friends and family members and talked to the camera themselves, often sharing their innermost feelings.
And with this disease comes a lot of work.
15-year-old Tyreka Allen, heavyset, wearing a pink shirt and reddish head wrap, analyzed her situation while sitting in her bedroom sorting a bunch of plastic hangers.
And I think sometimes the reason why, you know, I eat the way I eat is because either I'm mad or I'm sad or people look at me strange. It's like I'll eat even if I'm not hungry. If I'm hurting, I feel that's when I eat the most, you know what I'm saying?
Dr. Rich says a statement like this reminds us of the psychological causes and consequences of chronic health problems. They're a huge part of what young patients are dealing with day to day, often out of view. Family members and friends are busy coping, too, in ways that physicians rarely hear about.
I can't believe how awful you look, though.
I'm not in pajamas.
No, you're in a big sweater.
I wore big sweaters then.
14-year-old Katie Brokus and her mother, Lynn, look back on Katie's tapes as a reminder of how far they've come in dealing with Katie's severe form of asthma. Katie was 8 when she was first diagnosed with what's called sudden asphyxic asthma. Cold air can be life-threatening, so there was no more playing outdoors in the New Hampshire winter. Lynn Brokus had to play gatekeeper, which led to a lot of painful scenes, like this one. Katie has long blonde hair, her cheeks are puffy from medication, and she sits with her mom in a big upholstered chair.
Can we sit long?
No.
Sisters get to play outside every year.
Yeah, they do. How come you don't get to?
Because.
Why?
Because
why? You don't know?
Because you don't let me.
Yeah, why?
Do you remember feeling that way a lot?
Yeah, I still kind of do.
She couldn't go out for recess. And so she had to stand in the window when she could watch her friends out there sliding, but she couldn't go out and do it.
That was bad.
Really hard when she was young.
Katie and her mother, who's a nurse, scored high points, though, with providers for best use of inhalers and getting rid of things in the house that can trigger an asthma attack, such as stuffed animals. This proved more challenging for others. Home conditions weren't at all the way they were described during doctor's appointments. Whether it was a kitten or secondhand smoke, the camera captured it all, including the home of this young boy, filled top to bottom with plants and fish tanks.
Entering the house.
The boy's allergist, Dr. Linda Schneider, was taken aback when she viewed the tape.
It was kind of shocking to me to see, entering into his house where it basically looked like a forest. There were so many plants. And, you know, I'm sure I'd ask him multiple times if there was mold in the home or were there plants, but for whatever reason, we hadn't connected to understand that this could be a problem with his asthma.
Dr. Schneider is now revising her strategies for getting accurate information about children's homes. Patients and their families took other risks with the video camera. In one instance, a teenage girl filmed herself in the midst of a serious asthma attack en route to the emergency department. In another, an 11-year-old found out more than she possibly bargained for from her mom.
Describe what happens during one of my asthma attacks.
Oh, first I panic. Then I get your nebulizer treatment. And of course I run outside and have a cigarette, which is the worst thing for me to do, but as long as I'm outside with the door shut. Then I come in and I still panic and I rub your back. And you keep saying, Ma, don't get nervous, Ma. I'm okay, Ma.
Okay, next. Do you ever feel people treat me differently because of my asthma?
Yes, people do treat you differently because of your asthma. Your grandmother, your grandfather, and almost every single one of your aunts treat you like you're some kind of a queen because you have asthma. It was always, give it to the baby. She's so sick. Mm-hmm. Give it to Mallory because she's so sick. I get more phone calls when it rains to see how the baby is. I get more phone calls when it snows to see how the baby is. Every older woman that I know lights a candle for you every day. Go on. Next.
Dr. Rich says it's helpful to know about family dynamics like these. While young adults with spina bifida and sickle cell anemia are the latest patients he's given video cameras to, Michael Rich doesn't advocate patient videotaping as a routine part of medical practice. It's too costly and time-consuming. Instead, he's using the tapes as teaching tools, hoping to startle other doctors into realizing that children and families have unique views about their ordeals that are medically relevant. Many of the videographers say filming their lives made them feel for the first time that they, not their medical condition, was what truly mattered. Tyreka Allen, who is now 17 and managing type 2 diabetes as well as her weight, is propelled by that realization still.
At times I could just put the camera on and express how I felt and things I was going through, and I got to let people know how it was being Tyreka, how I live my life. I found out that, you know, a lot of people do care about me and they do worry about me.
The question is, can doctors give young patients that same sense of self-worth, a starring role in managing their illnesses, without a camera in between? For NPR News, I'm Madge Kaplan in Boston.